Morning, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude. Whoa, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. every weekday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. At 2:30 every morning, we play some comedy from the classic Johnny Carson show. Yeah, Johnny Carson show you can watch every night on Antenna TV. It's awesome. And we always play back, you know, some stand-up or some interviews or some sketches. Well, this morning we're going to play back Betty White, female reporter in the locker room. So that we've got that coming up as well. We're going to talk about when artificial intelligence went wild, tourist traps in every state. And yesterday was Twilight Zone Day. I didn't even know that there was a national Twilight Zone Day, but there is, and it was May 11th. So we're going to talk about some of the best Twilight Zone episodes and all that really cool stuff. 312-981-7200 is the number if you want to join us. My next guest is Adam Selzer. He is with Mysterious Chicago Tours. He's a tour guide has had many years' experience, has written a bunch of books. He's appeared on the History Channel, the Travel Channel, and much more. Well, we've got a virtual, you know, because you can't go on a tour now, like a physical tour now. Well, we've got a virtual tour available and a virtual talk, a couple of virtual talks that are available in the month of May. And we'll tell you all about that as we welcome Adam to the show. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. How did you get started into the tour business, Adam?
I answered an ad on Craigslist for a ghost tour guide years and years ago.
Is that right? On Craigslist, huh?
Yeah, I kind of fell into it.
Uh-huh. Have you?
After I got started with them, though, I realized some of the stories they were teaching me might not be entirely true. So I started doing the research and finding more and more stories and more things to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And are you from Chicago, Adam?
I've been here 15 years.
Ah, okay. Where are you originally from?
Iowa.
Iowa. There you go. All right.
That's practically a suburb.
Yeah. No, it's practically a suburb. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool that you got started with the Craigslist thing. So you answered the ad, and then what happened next?
What happened next is I just started doing tons and tons of research and found a lot of stories that didn't necessarily fit in with the ghost tour genre so well.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon I had other topics to talk about, other topics to research, and things to start writing articles and books about.
Okay, very cool. And you've written more than 20 books, so there you go.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about Atlas Obscura being a field agent.
That's one of my tour guide jobs, really. Atlas Obscura allowed me to branch out a little bit more into things that weren't just ghostly and things like film screenings and bizarre food events. Whatever I could think of that they thought people would buy tickets to, really.
Okay. All right. And people can check out MysteriousChicago.com. Now, obviously, you know, we're confined to be indoors, so this is affecting your business. How often did you used to do tours, and when we get this whole thing over with, how often are you going to be doing tours and offering them?
It varies by the season. You know, people don't really sign up for walking tours in Chicago in the winter very often.
Right.
Usually this time of year, I spend most of my time traveling around with school groups. I show groups from all over the country around Chicago and New York. But any time I had a free day, I'd be running a tour at a cemetery or something. By summer, I'm usually doing three or four tours a week. In October, quite a few more.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. And how do you pick the places that you want to take people on a tour?
A lot of it is just when I realize I have enough stories about a certain area. Like, I do one that's called The Darker Side of Taylor Street, just because I noticed I had so many wildly different stories on Taylor between Halstead and Ashland. I could probably do the same thing on Madison. There's a stretch of Wells that I'd like to do it on. And then, of course, there are just topics that I know people always want to hear about, like the gangsters and H.H. Holmes.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about H.H. Holmes, because you're going to have a virtual talk about H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, next week I'll be doing a talk about him. I did one a few weeks ago, but we've got enough new people tuning in now that I thought I'd add another. I did a whole book on Holmes called H.H. Holmes, The True History of the White City Devil that came out about 3 years ago.
Mm.
And that was a result of years of digging through the legal archives and the newspaper archives. The guy got sued a lot. There's a lot of paperwork on file.
Yeah. Well, tell for people who don't know, H.H. Holmes, let's hear the story.
Well, the legend of H.H. Holmes is that during the World's Fair in 1893, he had a building that we now know as the Murder Castle that was supposed to be a hotel where he was murdering visitors to the fair in a variety of interesting ways. Really, he was a swindler first and foremost. A lot of what we know about him now is really more of a tall tale than anything else. And separating fact from fiction was a really long thing for me, but it was fascinating. There's always another clue to find, always something else out there.
What do you think it is about that people find so fascinating about it, the H.H. Holmes story?
Well, it's a story that you can exaggerate quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And everything just seems to kind of stick to it. Well, people around Halloween, the number of people he's thought to have killed can go up to the thousands.
Right, right.
The real number is probably 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm. And
he confessed to 27, but several of them were still alive at the time.
He confessed to 27, but
yes. Yeah, so, when it came time to write a confession for money, he just took everything he had been accused of. And there was a period when they were first digging up his house and finding out what he had done. People were saying, "Well, what about this person? We haven't seen her around in a couple of weeks." And for a couple of days, people would wonder if, like, Kate Durkee had been murdered. Then Kate Durkee would be found alive and well and living in Omaha. But then Holmes just confessed to all of those things, even the ones that had been thoroughly debunked by then.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Wow. Confessed to 27.
Yeah. 9 or 10 is a more realistic number, though.
Okay. Now, what's this virtual talk going to be like? It's on Thursday, May 21st at 8 p.m., and people can go to go to MysteriousChicago.com.
Yeah, just go to the Mysterious Chicago Facebook page. That'll link you to pretty much everything. That's where everything is happening these days. It's all just being broadcast on Facebook Live.
Okay. You can check that out.
And that one will be, an illustrated talk. I'll show stuff out of the legal archives and all of the such pictures as exist, diagrams of his various buildings, and, you know, show how I do the research, what the real story was, and how fact from fiction gets separated.
Okay. Okay, cool. Adam, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Adam Selzer is here, Mysterious Chicago Tours. Check out MysteriousChicago.com. We got more virtual stuff to talk about, virtual talk, virtual tour, and more. Lots of fun things to talk about with Adam Selzer here on 720 WGN.
Some people stay far away from the door if there's a chance of it opening up. They hear a voice in the hall outside.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock, as we are every weekday morning, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. Right now, we're talking with Adam Selzer, Mysterious Chicago Tours. You can check out MysteriousChicago.com, offering some virtual talks and virtual tours as we're all stuck inside. And Adam, welcome back, man.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So you've done a ton of tours throughout your time doing this. How do you keep all your facts straight?
I have no idea, honestly. There's always a lot swimming in my head. I try to keep it fresh just by doing it often enough. That just helps a lot to do it over and over again. Muscle memory can kind of take over.
Mm-hmm.
Other times there will be things that I've told the story 100 times in that year, but all of a sudden somebody's name I'll just completely blank on.
Oh God, that must be crazy when that happens, huh?
It's a little it's rough, yeah.
Yeah. How big are your tours? How many people do you usually take?
Usually with the walking tour, I top it out at about 35 people. I feel like above that, the quality will start to dip.
Yeah, well, that's a big group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Do you have, now you mentioned Taylor Street. What's so interesting that you would want to do a whole thing on Taylor Street?
Oh, there's just so many different stories that come up there. It's like there was an arsonist queen who was working the neighborhood for a while. At the end of the road, you get up to the place where a couple of public hangings took place in the 1850s. There were a lot of the 20s-era gangsters.
Yeah. Yeah, Taylor Street's got it. I mean, well, that's the first thing I think of is, I would imagine, gangsters would be the first thing that people think of when they think of Taylor Street.
Or in, oh, sure. And, well, Little Italy, yeah.
Yeah, and great Italian food.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How long do the tours usually last?
Usually in the range of an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you do it year-round, but this would have been your busy season, correct?
This would have been my busy season, yeah. Mm. Well, actually, I've made it even busier. As I said, sometimes most of these tours I do over and over again. But now I can't. Now I'm just trying to do two or three different ones every week, so I'm constantly coming up with new stuff.
What's the challenge of doing these things virtually?
Well, it's a whole different ballgame doing things virtually. I don't have any audience feedback right at the moment. It's all doing pay as you go, so I never know if I'm going to make any money or anything. It's all free, donation suggested, so I never know if I'm going to make anything or not. But it also brings up some interesting opportunities. I can do totally different routes that I'd never do as a walking tour route. Like in the cemeteries, I can do a route that ends right in the middle of the place instead of winding my way back to the gate.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see. You're offering on Sunday, May 17th at 10 a.m., you're offering a virtual tour of Women of Graceland Cemetery. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, it's a problem with a lot of cemeteries, I think, is that the tours are overwhelmingly just rich guys. And, you know, yeah. By no means excluding my own. I try to mix it up a little bit, but I'm trying to do a lot of different themes. Like I did a Graceland tour called Health Scares and History a couple of weeks ago with an Underground Railroad people tour of Graceland, and Women will be just the next one.
Oh, okay. All right, let's see. Here is Barb on WGN. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Adam. Adam, I just wanted to mention, I've sort of come at it from both sides. Back in the day, I did tours at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. It was an awesome job. The museum has changed a lot over the years. It's lost a little bit of that touch, but I loved that job all over the museum.
Oh, yeah.
But I've also been, a tour participant, you know, on the other side of it, not the leader, but a participant. And one I wanted to ask you about, years ago when I was young and starting a new career and newly married, I went as part of a job conference thing. I went to Seattle, Washington. It's an amazing, amazing town. I loved it. And it didn't rain, unlike you know, the popular myth, it didn't rain when I was there. It was beautiful. But one tour I will never, ever forget, of course, I did the touristy things like the Space Needle and all that, but one tour I will never forget, I went and toured, I went on a group that toured underground Seattle, and it was a whole part of a city that was below ground. And I'm trying to remember it all because it was years ago, but it was fascinating to me because apparently it was tied in with the Prohibition era where things were happening underground in connection with booze and some gambling and maybe even a little bit of ladies of the night type of thing. But there were actual, like, kind of the remnants of underground, you know, it was a long passageway that we were all allowed to walk, and there were like stores and shops and, you know, rooms and things. And I'm wondering, A, if you've ever been there, and B, is there anything comparable to that in Chicago or any other cities that you've been in?
There's an underground section in Atlanta. It sounds kind of similar to that. I've never been to the Seattle one. It sounds really cool. Chicago, about the closest you could come is probably the Pedway,
the underground
walkway system, which also has shops and things set up. Below that, also like 40 feet below the loop, there's 60 miles of old freight tunnels that they used to use for pushing coal and mail around. There's a lot of buildings that are connected by tunnels. People love to say it was all the bootleggers. Really, they were mostly probably put in for coal and mail years before the bootleggers came around.
Yeah.
I don't know of any that I could really take people into for tours, though. I mean, if I could get people into the freight tunnels, I would sell every ticket every time. People love tunnels.
Yeah.
But those are, they don't let people into those.
Yeah, no. But you got, you know, you can check out the Pedway, though. I know that for sure. So yeah, Barb, you can check out the Pedway, which is downtown on the Loop.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. All right. Let's talk a little bit about these other virtual tours. You've got the Women of Graceland. You got the virtual talk of H.H. Holmes, and then the virtual talk of the Strange Tale of the Cardinella Gang. Tell me about that.
Yeah, but that's what it's so little known that I don't know how many people are going to tune in for. It's like anything else, a popular topic will attract more people. Sam Cardinello was this guy in the 1910s. It's almost like he had read Oliver Twist and thought it was a how-to manual. He was running a pool hall where he would lure teenagers in to play pool. Then he would teach them to commit crimes. When they finally raided this place, the kids admitted to something like 450 holdups.
Jeez.
And quite a number of shootings, too.
Wow.
And then the wildest thing is I found Cardinella's executive clemency file. It makes a very good case for a very convincing case for the idea that he was more or less innocent. They were just trying to pin it all on him. And certainly some of those kids have been committing crimes since a long time before they ever met Sam Cardinella. But then after his eventual execution, they caught them out back trying to bring him back to life in an ambulance.
What?
You know, he had this whole elaborate thing where he had arranged to be hanged tied to a chair. They thought maybe if he just choked to death and didn't break his neck, they could bring him back to life. And apparently they at least told him they had already tested it on one of his one of the kids who had been hanged as well, and that it had worked. But surely it did not, but I think they probably told him it did.
Wow. Now this
it's one of those stories that gets wilder and wilder. The clemency file had a petition, like hundreds of pages of a petition of people saying the man should be freed or at least commuted to life in prison. And among the signatures are guys like Tony DeAndre, Joe Aiello, Frank the Enforcer Nitti, a whole who's who of people who would be big gangsters in the next decade.
Wow. I've never heard this story before.
Yeah, it's very uncommon. I've never been able to talk. I've never been able to talk a publisher into doing a book on it, certainly. But you know, since I'm just doing these for free, donate if you want to. I figure I can do whatever topic I feel like.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and these virtual tours are free. You got suggested donations.
And
you can go to via Venmo or you can use PayPal.
Yeah, Venmo, PayPal, Eventbrite.
Yeah. So, but you can also just watch them for free. So,
yeah, a lot of people just come, you know.
A lot of Cardinella gang. It will be this Thursday, at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
This Thursday at 8 p.m.
Yep.
And then the virtual tour of the Women of Graceland Cemetery is going to be Sunday at
that'll be Sunday morning, yeah.
10 a.m. And then the virtual talk about H.H. Holmes will be Thursday the 21st at 8 p.m.
Yep. Okay. And the next Saturday is we're going to do a thing called the Time Travel Pub Crawl.
Oh, well, tell me about that.
Oh, we did that. We did the first one just the other night. I figured, I was thinking a while ago, what'll I do for my birthday? We're still going to be socially isolated on my 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, maybe I could do a virtual pub crawl. And then I started to think, you know, if we're doing a virtual pub crawl, we're not bound by things like time or space. So we could go to a pub crawl where we go to the Everleigh Club and the Whitechapel Club and Big Jim Colosimo's place, or places that haven't existed in decades. So we did it on Saturday night. We went to a few of those places. We created some custom cocktails. I had some performers doing music. And it was such a good time that we're doing it again in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's great. Where are you going to go this time?
It's a secret.
Oh, okay. All right.
You'll have to tune in to find out.
Okay. All right. Adam, hang on, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Adam Selzer is with us. If you want to jump in here, if you got any questions about some of the tours, Mysterious Tours, Mysterious Chicago Tours, you can check out mysterioushicago.com, and we'll tell you more about what's going on and some of the tours that that Adam has done in the past, and we'll talk about that. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 4 a.m., as we are every weekday morning from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., keeping you company, keeping you informed, and getting you through this, and we'll get through this together. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're going to talk about tourist traps. Yesterday was Twilight Zone Day, so we're going to talk about the Twilight Zone. And, of course, we're going to play some classic Carson from the Johnny Carson Show. You can watch the Johnny Carson Show every night on Antenna TV, and we're going to listen to Betty White being the female reporter in the locker room. So that's coming up right here on 720 WGN. Right now, Adam Seltzer is with us. He runs Mysterious Chicago Tours. You can check out mysterioushicago.com. Got some virtual talks and tours coming up since we're stuck inside, but you can still see some really cool stuff and hear some really cool stuff, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that as well. Adam, welcome back.
Thanks.
Do you enjoy being on the History Channel, Travel Channel, stuff like that?
Yeah, that's always fun. Like I said, I'm a kid from Iowa, you know. Even when I see, like, a filming notice on my street, I feel impossibly metropolitan, you know?
Yeah. So the tours are free. Now, you are suggesting that maybe people can make a donation, but they are actually being offered for free. So you've been on other tours, I would imagine. Can you tell, as being a tour guide yourself, can you tell when tour guides are telling you the real history or just making stuff up?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially if it's a Chicago thing, I probably already know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there's certainly some where, like, that's wrong, that's misinformation, that was probably too true when he wrote it, but it's way out of date.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when they seem to have all of the details and when they're just kind of rambling.
Yeah. Now, how long did it take you to get to the point where you were really satisfied, thinking that you were a really good tour guide?
It took a little while. I felt like early on, I was having a good enough time, and the customers seemed to like they were having a good enough time. But it depending on the route, depending on what I was doing. I'd say within the first couple of years, I felt like I was doing all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you get a lot of questions on the tour? Do you do like a Q&A on the tours?
Often, yeah. Especially on a walking tour, you know, as we're walking from place to place, people ask me related questions or if I've ever heard of this or that. In the cemetery, like, who's that guy?
Yeah. Now, the cemetery tours, what other cemeteries do you do? Besides Graceland, what other cemeteries have you done?
I also do Rose Hill quite a bit, and up in New York, I do a couple of them as well.
Okay. Rose Hill. I used to live near Rose Hill.
Oh, yeah. I live near Rose Hill now.
Yeah. It's actually a beautiful cemetery.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah. What are some of the stories in there?
There's a woman who had the first line on stage the night Abraham Lincoln was shot.
Oh, is that right? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a woman named Catherine Evans. She was playing a character, playing Mrs. Sharp in the show. So she had the first line. She ended up telling that story for the rest of her life. It's just a little modest grave. You'd always walk right past it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, among the Civil War graves, there's a guy named Irving Carson who was a scout for General Grant and also the first journalist to be killed in war.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's a fascinating guy too. I mean, he would do things like dress up like a Southern farmer and just like sail across the river down to Tennessee and just walk up to a fort and say, "Hey, I'm thinking of joining. Can I walk around and look at all your stuff?" And they'd let him walk around the fort, and he'd be back at the Union camp with a map of the place a couple of days later.
Wow!
People were telling stories about the guy like he was Han Solo when he was still alive, which is fairly rare.
Yeah.
Kind of a legend in his own time. But then at the Battle of Shiloh, he took a cannonball to the head.
Ooh!
And they've got him. For the most part, the soldiers' graves there are pretty much chronological order based on when the body arrived. But they've got him way over with the 1865 guys. The rest of the Battle of Shiloh victims are over in April of 1862. They sent him way apart. I think they were maybe planning on giving him a big, giant monument of his own.
And they never
did.
But
then the war went on too long.
The war went on too long. Well, there it is. So do you have a favorite tour? Do you have that you love doing, Adam?
I can do the Graceland one over and over again.
Yeah, Graceland's pretty great. That's a beautiful place.
It's great, and there's a million different ways to do it. I'm just finishing up work on a new Who's Who book about Graceland for University of Illinois Press, so I've got a million stories fresh in my mind.
Yeah, what are some of your favorites in Graceland?
There's a guy named Barton Edsall who was found dead in his mansion on the north side. For about 3 days, it was all anybody could talk about. The day that they buried him, the newspapers went to press saying, "We're still good to get to the bottom of this. We will not forget about Barton Edsall." Then that night was the Great Chicago Fire, and everybody forgot about Barton Edsall completely.
Oh. Oh, man. Yeah. What are some of the other, there's a lot of sort of weird, like Graceland has some things that are like cursed or something. Isn't that true? Or
There's some urban legends about it. There's a statue called Eternal Silence by Laredo Tapp, which looks like a guy like holding up a cowl over his face. He's like, he's demonstrating how to cough safely.
Right.
Supposedly, if you look into its eyes, you will see your own death. But I've looked into its eyes. I didn't see anything. So I am going to live forever.
Wasn't there also, maybe this is the same monument, but was there also one that, like, if you tried to photograph it, it wouldn't photograph?
Yeah, that's the same one. But I think that story worked better back before digital cameras.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true.
Because yeah, I've got plenty of clear pictures of it. But back when you had to take the film someplace first. You could say that on a cemetery tour, and nobody would know it was wrong until after the tour.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. So Graceland, really, really cool place. Really cool place. Are you planning on doing more? We've got you pretty much got the month of May. Are you planning on doing more virtual tours and talks as this continues?
Oh yeah, you know, if for no other reason than to just keep myself busy. That's really why I got started with it. They announced everything was shutting down. Graceland canceled all the tours, and I figured I can either come up with something to keep myself occupied, or I can just sit there refreshing Twitter all day long.
Right.
that way lies madness.
So, yeah, that's true. Do you have a favorite?
I kind of bit off more than I can chew in the end. I've got a much busier schedule than I ever had before now.
Oh, wow. Well, that keeps you. That's good. So, at least you're keeping busy.
It's not doing as many tours, but it's a lot more work to put together the whole presentation and do a different one all the time.
Right. Now, tell us about some of your books. You've written over 20 of them. Tell us about some of the ones that you've written.
Yeah, about half of them are young adult novels. There was one, the only one that really ties into this stuff was a thing called Just Kill Me, which is about a ghost tour guide who makes places more haunted by killing people at them.
Oh, jeez.
That one came out 4 or 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I also did a mysterious Chicago book, a compilation of unsolved mystery stories from Chicago history, one called The Smart Alex Guide to American History, one about silent film in Chicago.
Oh, you did one about silent film in Chicago. Wow, that's...
Yeah, it's called A Flickering Empire, it's called.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the history there is amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's something that we kind of brush over in Chicago. We're so focused on our crime history that we kind of forget we were Hollywood before there was a Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. And, it's such a... I mean, especially like in the... Now, my producer lives like right in the what used to be the epicenter. Because he lives in Uptown, and that's where it all kind of started right there.
Yeah, I just did a virtual. I might have to do it again, but I just did a virtual talk on silent film in Chicago a few weeks ago. We showed the first SNA film was a thing called An Awful Skate, which is just a guy who seems not to know how to roller skate at all, roller skating around and crashing into things.
Right, I've seen that.
And you know, it's very basic comedy. In the middle of it, my mother called me and said, "Your father is rolling on the floor crying. He's laughing so hard at this."
So your dad likes the physical comedy then, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing not funny about a guy falling on his butt.
Yeah. So that's always great. What's a quality that every good tour guide should have? I mean, obviously the ability to tell stories is a big one, right?
Right, the ability to tell stories and to isolate what's interesting about something.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be, and really the best advice I ever got was when I was first starting out, the guy who was driving the tour bus for me said, "If you're having a good time, they'll be having a good time."
Ah, that's good. That's good
and
advice.
And I find that works. Yeah,
that's good advice. I went on with my ex. We spent part of our honeymoon in New Orleans. And we went on a really great graveyard tour.
It has some great ones down there.
Oh yeah, and we went to Marie Laveau's gravesite, which was really interesting.
Nice,
because you know there's graffiti all over it, and people leave little trinkets there because apparently it's good luck if you pray to Marie Laveau, the voodoo goddess of New Orleans. But my favorite story that came out of it, and we had a really good tour guide. He was really, really sharp and really good. Was we went to the church across the street from the cemetery where Marie Laveau is buried. And I can't remember the name of the church, but the church is directly across the street. And we went in there, and we did a quick tour of the church. And in the corner of the church, there is this statue, and it is labeled Saint Expedite. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, Adam.
No, I've never heard of Saint Expedite.
It's a very strange. I mean, it doesn't look like any kind of saint I've ever seen. There's like a big sword. He looks like a character out of Conan. There's like a sword. He looks like a warrior. And this is Saint Expedite, and that's the patron saint of voodoo. So if you want to go in and pay tribute, but the reason why it's Saint Expedite is because years and years and years earlier, the church received this crate. There was no return address. Nothing was on it. And so they received the crate and they opened up the crate and pulled out all the stuffing and stuff. And there was this statue, and all it said on the crate was Expedite.
Okay.
So that's how he became Saint Expedite, just a box that showed up, a crate that showed up that just said Expedite on it. And that's how he became the patron saint of voodoo.
All right.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite stories.
I guess somebody has to be.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Is this Enoch? Hi, Enoch.
Yes,
Enoch?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, you're calling from Tennessee. That's great. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I was just wondering, is Al Capone buried in Chicago, and do you do the tours at Al Capone's estate?
Al Capone's buried out in Hillside, out in the suburbs of Chicago, in Mount Carmel Cemetery. Really, about all of the big gangsters ended up at Mount Carmel. I think it was maybe like the one Catholic ceremony that would allow them to be buried there. I know a lot of them went through drama with the church over getting a burial site. I've never done a tour out there. I don't really do I've never really done tours at the Catholic cemeteries before, but there's enough stories out there that I probably could.
Yeah.
I might go out there and do some filming just so I can do virtual tours of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. Why did they end up buried there?
My theory is it was the one place where whichever priest or bishop was in charge of it was willing to take them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. All right, Enoch.
There was certainly some drama there.
Enoch, thanks.
I did a tour a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I did one called Al Capone in Chicago that was down in the Loop, and I went to all of the small handful of places that are still standing that we can actually trace Capone to. You hear about him being practically everywhere, including places that weren't even built yet when he died.
That's true. That's true.
There are a few I can trace him to for real.
You ever drop into the Green Mill?
Every now and then, yeah. And I'm not sure we can honestly trace him to that one.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, some of his people were running it. Jack McGurn was running it. So it's to be assumed that he must have swung by at some point, but it's not that well documented if he did.
So that's, again, a legend that's gotten blown out of proportion over the years.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing, the big one with him is every other boat tour says that he ran a speakeasy in the dome of the jeweler's building. And there's no reason to believe he ever set foot in that building. There was a club there, but not until years after he went for prison.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. All right, well, Adam, it's been fun talking to you, man.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, and the virtual tour of the virtual talk of the strange tale of the Cardinella gang is Thursday at 8 p.m.
Yep.
The virtual tour of Women of Graceland Cemetery is Sunday at 10 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And then Thursday, May 21st, at 8 p.m. is the virtual talk of H.H. Holmes.
That is correct.
The virtual tours are free. There's suggested donations, though. You can go to Venmo or you can go to PayPal if you want to just donate some money. And you can always check out MysteriousChicago.com for further things that will be happening. Adam, stay safe, and I appreciate you talking to us.
All right. Stay safe.
All right, buddy. Take care. Adam Selzer from Mysterious Tours, Mysterious Chicago Tours, MysteriousChicago.com. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here. It's 720 WGN.